shut in with God in a secret place. There in his presence, beholding his face, gaining new courage to run the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Can you sing that with me? So be shut in with God in his secret place. Beholding his grace, gaining new courage to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Let us enter down in the heart, enter into these courts with praise. Let us say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Wanna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Wanna rejoice, cause Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I wanna rejoice, Jesus. Sing it again now. Oh, I've entered into the gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Entered into the court. Sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice, Jesus, made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. And I wanna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Can you sing it just one more time? So we'll enter into the gates with thanksgiving down in the heart. Enter into the courts with his praise. And we'll sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. My Lord made me glad, and I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. My Lord made me glad, oh Jesus made me glad. Gonna rejoice, Jesus made me glad. You love the Lord? God is good. You can be seated. This morning, we're just going to try to make a little reference to the Word, talk about the Word. I got up here real early the other night, and sometimes it would be better, perhaps, if I did get up here and just get to the Word and kind of keep your minds from a lot of other things. We got to the place to where we finally got into entertainment and just finally left the Word of God. So many churches has done that. Brother Branham kind of changed that thing around in his day, and he just kind of got to the Word, and the followers still, they just might have a song and then get into the Word or play tapes or whatever they do. I always like the worship. I like to see people clap their hands and sing and praise the Lord. But when it gets to be stardom and it gets to be people that are just wanting to project personality and they've just got talents that they want to put out there, I kind of lose interest in it. And when it gets to be just routine to where they come and just clap their hands and sing and just get all jubilant, you know, and when the Word of God comes, there's no jubilant, no hunger, no thirst, they're ready to go home. And when they do come back, they really don't have anything as to inwardly speaking. There's really nothing there. They didn't get anything from the services, and they just come back with the same old routine. So I just get tired of that. I get wrought with that, and I just try to push on around with the Word. All during the day, it should be that we should be meditating in the things of God, and we should be studying the Bible where and whenever we can. And our minds, if we're not studying the Bible, we should be in our minds in a deep study in the Word of God constantly. Because this is what's important, the Word of God. Not clapping your hands and not singing and not projecting your talents, nor trying to be a minister or me getting up here being a preacher. All that has nothing to do with anything, not anything. The Word of God is what it's all about. The Word of God. There's thousands upon thousands of preachers in the world today. And though they're great personalities on the earth, and you can be as big as you want to, it depends on how much you want to compromise. The world loves its own, and you can just, there's no end to it if you want to start. You can just be anything you want to. But the thing is, when you get through with all of it, you just fold it up and lay it away. It didn't mean nothing. It ain't nothing. Their personality, their being, they're just going to be good to throw in a hole and the worms eat them. But the Word of God was in the beginning, and the Word of God is the thing that will be in the end. And the Word of God is given to you to change you from a human being into the Word of God. And that is from your beastly form into a God. And this Word is spirit and it is life. And if you don't get the Word of God, you don't get anything. Going to college doesn't mean anything in the world. You can go to every college that there is. It don't mean a thing. When you get out, you'll be just as dumb as you was when you went in. And you can go to every hospital that you want to go to. But when you get out, if you've got cancer when you go in, you'll have cancer when you come out as far as going into the hospitals. But there's got to be something, even in school or college, that is a word of tutoring, a word of understanding. And you don't go there to get the college nor to take the college home with you or to homestead. You don't go there to see the teachers. You don't go there, even though I'm afraid that this is what it's got into, is the teachers and the women and men all just a mess. That's all it is. And you go to college now just so that you can loaf around and have somebody to pile around with, you know, and turn your life into something like a bunch of dogs or animals. But that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose was to indoctrinate you with a knowledge, which knowledge is really corrupt in the long run. And that's what's causing all the old prostitution and all the problems of the government of so-called today. But at any rate, there's supposed to be a purpose, and that is the indoctrination. And it's the same way in the hospitals. You're supposed to go there not because somebody has a doctorate to go around saying, "Good morning, Mr. Documented," but you're supposed to go there because there's a man that has been studying concerning pills and been concerning elements and the vitalities of the body as to where he can understand the condition as to the function of your organic parts and what it takes to feed those parts and revitalize their parts as to your vital lines. This is what he's supposed to do. Even though I say this and it sounds a little bit off color, but it's still true. The doctors really do nothing. Actually, I watch and it's the people that's in the labs that's working that strive and struggle to break down the blood and study it and the chemistry and whatever and just gives the doctor a report. And the nurses are the ones that labor to try to do something for the body. And the doctor just walks around and says, "Good morning," you know, and he's the one that has to let you in and put you out. And you really don't amount to nothing. Occasionally one will put a knife in you to cut you. Whereas I had a man in Monroe, as I said, the one that operated on Eisenhower, that was one of the outstanding surgeons. He said that A lot of it's just foolishness. He said, when I got cut on myself, I learned that all them scars look so bad, that wasn't the proper thing to do, is to be whacking on somebody all the time. But anyway, they get a lot of money out of that. That's big money. And your life is not important. But in the midst of all of that, in the medical world, there are some conscientious people. And all those good things that God has given to help, as I say again, the animal part, that is wonderful. The only thing we hate is the filth of the flesh. You don't have to get down and live like a dog and a man messing with a woman and a woman messing with a man to heal somebody or to be a doctor. That's not being anything except a bunch of dogs and pigs and just wallowing in the slop and the mire. And they turned the hospital into a sloppy mire. See, and the vultures have got around it. So you don't have to do that. It's the same way in school. You don't have to go to school to learn about the world of academics, you know, and turn into a bunch of dogs and hogs. You don't have to do that. But Satan started with the beast, and he is the god of the beast, and he has turned everything else that he can get a hold of in the beast, till Jesus said there are swines and dogs, and even worse than that, he said there are serpents on their belly, and all of their labors for their belly, and all flesh is corrupted its way. Poison of asp under the tongue. So then it means that we've got to get out of the mire and we've got to get back to reality and we've got to get to the Prince of Peace and we've got to get back to virtue. You know, a virgin is a great thing. 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, which means all of them were set apart for the same purpose. And because I know when people think about virtue, all they can think about is passions, you know, and human relationship. They're so degraded. All they think about is the stimulation of quickening of nerves and whatever it might be as to the organic parts of people, which don't have nothing to do with that. Virtue is a holy God pureness. It is God himself. And they only make that reference to that because the woman is symbolic of the church. But we've got to get back to virtue and stop this filth of the flesh. Where someone would say, oh, Brother Pike, you talk too strong, filth of the flesh. It is filth of the flesh. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, who do you think is guilty? All flesh. The Bible said all flesh is guilty. All of them corrupted their way. And we've got to get away from that. We are not dogs and we are not swine. We are gods. We are not animals. We are sons of God. The world don't know how to set the pace. They don't know how to set the system. They don't know how to do nothing but make a mess. Someone said, well, I think they've done a good job so far. I don't know of any good job they've ever done. From history to history, as from everything of his story that I've ever read or ever known about, I've never found one good thing they've ever done. And that's the truth, so help me God. Every good thing that I've ever sought out, and I've sought out diligently many things, and every good thing I ever sought out, I found at the base and the root of something good. It was a godly man and a godly woman and a good person, even as the frontier women and men that settled America and as Washington and Lincoln and those that from the Bible set America in order. The world is waiting for the sons of God. They're the only ones that's got any sense. The only ones that's got any understanding. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's because you're an unbeliever. You don't believe the Bible. See, the Bible said when the church is taken out of here that they won't have enough sense to even make a bottle of healing medicine. All they're doing right now is reflecting what we have because of the grace of God. And all good things come from God. So then it's time that the children of God rose up. And they're going to rise up. They're tired of this thing of these people running around like a bunch of dogs and ruling over them. And they're going to rise and they're going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess it forever and ever. And they're going to clean the White House and they're going to clean these other places out and they're going to get those things out of there and dump the garbage. And they're going to put sons and daughters of God in there and they're going to drive the pigs out and clean up the pig pens. And they're going to come back and do something and do away with all this bubbling and the wine and the beer, the dance hall and all the frolics of these kind of x-ray move, all these kind of things. You know, it's like this. I think of it a lot of times. They brand us as a cult out here. Now, you know why they do that? It's because they are ignorant. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. They're blinded by the ignorance within them of their old intellectual fads of diplomacies. And they call something decent, they call it bad, and they call it a cult. Now, that's what they did with the early church. That's what they called it. They called them heretics and burned them at the stake. But they were the bunch of heretics.
And these people that call something godly a cult, it's because they are a cult. It's because they themselves don't have any sense and understanding. They're blinded by the ignorance within them, and they're upside down. They're like bats swinging by the tail, as we say. They don't have any understanding. They cannot see. They're blind and cannot see. Bats can't see. They've just got the old human senses and human feeling, and they go around by feel because they're creatures of darkness, which means intellectual learning. So then this is the case. That's with them. See, Lucifer is their god. He's blind. He's the god of darkness, and he can't see. So then they don't have this light on the inside like you and I have. Now, when we think about these things, we realize that in the midst of these people, God has sent wise men, even to the Jews. He said, I sent you wise men, not always preachers, not always prophets, but wise men to help them with their cultures of life and to help them with many things. And he sent great wise men and wise women and virtuous people to set up something to help the survival of life. And these vultures, as it would be, has gathered around and put their foot on top of them or pressed them out with their little intellectual PhDs. And they're doing the same thing in religion with their DDs. And they're forcing them out to where you can't do nothing. They're forcing you to get to the college and the old house of prostitution so that they can take over even religion with their intellectual indoctrination. But I tell you, that's where death is. Death is the carnal mind. I'm going to mention that this morning just a little bit. First, I'd like to say this. Where is the cult? The cult are those that are practicing religion that say that they believe they're Christians, that believe in the religious things of God to the extent that they practice religion, their churches and whatever. Those that make allowance for people to run around in bathing suits. Those that make allowance for people to run all over the house, all out in the yards and everywhere else, fellowshipping in shorts. That's cults. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, shoulder to God, you don't mean that. My hand be raised to heaven. That's cults. Not only is it cults, but it is doctrines of the devil. And they're wrecking their faith and everything decent in the earth. And ball games and races, car races and foot races and every kind of thing that they do, all these things of buying and selling and eating and drinking and reveling in parties, all this thing of just going to and fro and having church programs, social programs and gatherings, whatever, all of that is a bunch of cult. And it's called vomit on God's table. It's a lukewarm thing that is reflecting the good things of God, and they never come to holiness. It's like going to the hospital. You know, you go to the hospital, and they come in like a bunch of vultures. And I say that with all the respect that God would put in my heart toward true nurses and men that are trying to be decent and let women look after women and men look after men, except where it's necessary as to something that doesn't defile. Now, but anyway, they come in like a flock of vultures just all the time. And they can't be satisfied unless they disrobe or they do something degraded. See, I know, as I say, in the midst of that, there's good. But they say, you are ignorant. You are ignorant. Well, we've never heard of such in our life. You are ignorant. This is nothing but a body. Bones and flesh. We know all about it. We know the heart and the kidneys and whatever. And I think, no, I'm not ignorant. I've got understanding. You're ignorant and blinded by the ignorance within you. This is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and members in particular. And a touch me not to you. And the Bible said it's to be holy and godly, for it is God's temple. There's not one in here that would dare walk up and touch the great temple of God in heaven. You can't even get near it. And the Bible said, darkness don't even come near our dwelling. That's where the ignorance is. That's the cult. But they call this a cult because they don't understand. They're like bats. They can't see into this world. They don't understand light. All they got is their intellectual definition as to a world of academics and to the molecular structure. That's their defining. And they say, well, this is nothing but a body. It's a beast. We've traced it back. And they're right, it's beast. And that's why they do like they do, and that's why God leaves them like he does, that all of them can do whatever they want to. And the Bible said, in dishonoring their bodies, and the man leaving the natural use of the woman, them dishonoring their bodies, one with another, working that which is unseemly, bringing upon them the wrath of God, receiving within themselves a recompense of reward for their evil, disgracing doings. See, but they're animals. But folks, we're children of God. We're not animals. We don't want to be subjected to the hog pens and wallowed in the mire. We're sheep, not pigs. And because we rise up against it, they say, a bunch of ignoramuses. That's what's wrong with you. But to their shock and amazement, some of these ignoramuses are still holding their integrity with God and determined to be decent and holy and be virtuous and not get out there at the foolish virgins and wallow with a bunch of dogs. Somebody says, but Brother Punk, you sound so strong. You know, all I can say is glory to God. I like to tell it like it is. I want to tell it like it is. I think where the problem is today is everybody is trying to get so feminine and trying to get so that they have such a smooth touch, evangelist, everybody, until they're like some silly woman. And I don't mean that for good women. But silly women, you know, that wouldn't dare set their foot on the soldier foot on the ground because of their delicateness. You know, I think about people that are getting so silly with their diplomacies and they're working offices and always around women and silly women at that. And they get to where they're just, you know, I tell you, it's sickness. I've been there and some woman would come in and say, good morning, and hold her fingernails up for you to kiss her, you know. And then some man, you'd look, and here he comes. He holds his little hand up too, for her to kiss his. And I thought of all the stupidity. You know, men are men. They are men. They're masculine. Ain't no woman wants nothing like that. That's what's caused the perversion. They got into this frame of mind, and now they're perverted. They really don't know whether they're a man or a woman. But anyway, I don't know why we're saying all these things, but I'm just saying this is the problem. Calling cults, and they don't even know what a cult is. Even come and confess to me that we don't know what a cult is. And then they go back and they brand something cult. How can they brand it cult when they confess they don't even know what a cult is? So you are not people of ignorance. You are not people that don't understand. To the contrary, the children of God do understand. And though sometimes I use the terms, you just ain't understanding. I tell you again, I'm not saying you don't understand in that the things that we're saying, of many hundreds of these things you understand and are receiving, but I'm saying you don't understand as to what we're trying to reach, as to the depths and dimensional depths of the greatness of this deep, calling under the deep at the water spout of God, where you're supposed to go into these things, you're not doing it. And you're just kind of hitting the surface. But anyway, those people don't understand. They are without understanding. And the Bible said, if a person don't understand, to go from them. But you are people that understand. You're God's. You're the one that set the system and set the pace. Now, they're not to set the system. They got everything conglomerated. But just as soon as we get all that out, you know, and get their minds out of the boggle, get the right people. There are a lot of good people in the government and a lot of good people in the world and a lot of good people in denominations and religious walks of life and a lot of good people in the medical world, that as soon as they find out there's somebody going to stand for the right thing, they're going to take a stand and turn against all of that mess and begin to buck against them and will pull that thing out of the fire. And it's the same way in the military. They've let the military get to where it's just a slop hole. You know, you run around with pigtails or anything else. They used to be men, but not anymore. And now I know that in there's gallant men and there's brave men and courageous people. And I know they've done a lot of good things and a lot of courageous men have died so we can have this liberty. Now we've got a lot of silly diplomacies in there that don't know nothing, 90-day wonders we used to call it, and that get half scared to death if you put them on a battlefield. So they decided now the best thing they can do is get the women. So they're putting them on the battlefield. They're putting them on the battleship. And they're putting them everywhere else. It's sad to know that a man is so lazy in America that he has to have the woman to do the work. In the medical world, you say something to him. Oh, they say, but we don't have but just a very few men. 7-10 men. All the rest of ours is women. And I think of all the lazy things. You men won't do it, doctors or whatever, and you just got a few doctors running around in here to tell them what to do, and here the women is doing all the work. Now, somebody said, well, I just thank God for Bethlehem. I do too, and I pray that someday that Bethlehem will have a good purging where you'll quit being like that and stop the women from work. Let's give the Lord a hand so that we don't fall into the same trap. It's like somebody was saying to me the other day, said, if I was a woman, said, if a man couldn't make me a living, said, I wouldn't want him. If I got to make the living anyway, what you going to do with him? What good is he? See, you're supposed to be making a living. You're supposed to be doing something. So I said, well, who are you talking to? He said, I said, to all. That fits me too. All right, a little thought here. Hebrews 11, the first chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. The Bible said, by it the elders obtained a good report. And we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So, and Paul goes on to say, so that we automatically know that those things which we are seeing and beholding, they were not made by things that we see, but they were made by invisible things. The things that I behold with my eyes and that I'm acquainted with or relate to in my human senses was not made by the brilliance of intellectual diplomacy. They were made by the invisible world and by God, and everything that we have that's tangible emanated from God in the invisible world, and everything that God gave was pure. There's nothing unclean of itself. There's nothing contaminated of itself. It's only through the fall of the garden that contamination came in. Now, this is what I'd like to just dwell on just for a few minutes. Maybe not hold you long, but dwell on these thoughts for just a few minutes as to your edification. First of all, the garden was without spot, without blemish. There was not one germ in it of death. There was not one spot, not one speck on the fruits nor on the body. The hair of a woman and a man was like silk. It would have been the most beautiful stuff you've ever seen. Their bodies was like the light as to the sun. They were illuminated with this bright, wonderful glory of an abundance of life. And the garden was so beautiful that it was breathtaking. And all kind of species was there for them. Everything. It wasn't like scattered all over the world like we have now. Everything was right there for them. Every type of fruit was right there in the garden. And they didn't have to work. They didn't have to toil. They didn't have to make any plans or program to go anywhere. There was no place that they could go to vacation that was greater than their vacation spot where they lived. There was no place that was more enticing in all the world than where they were at. There was nothing to be offered them in any part of the world outside of what they had that was so great and satisfied and full as to fill them with all the jubilance and joy of living. So when man fell, it wasn't because there was something wrong with the garden, nor wrong with God, nor wrong with anything outside of man himself. And we use this term a lot of times. Death came by man. Death didn't come by God. We need to get this into our heart. Someone would say, well, what do we want to talk about death for? Well, what do we want to talk about life for? Oh, somebody says, well, in life, I like that. But the thing is, you're going to die. That's the thing. See, if you like life, you better talk about death. And you better find out something about death. Because that's why you go to the hospital, to find out about death, or you're going to lose your life. See, and that's where the problem is. Everybody's running after life in the world out here around us. Everybody's running after life everywhere, trying to get life, but nobody's considering death and what causes death and where death comes from outside of trying to intellectually define it in their little old minute mind. And that's where the problem is. See, but anyway, we realized that there was nothing wrong with anything that God had done. And there was nothing unclean of itself. And did you know that even in the world today, it's still clean. There is nothing that is unclean of itself. There is not one thing that's unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth the thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. So then that means that tells us something. Someone would say, well, what it tells me, and I can do anything I want to. Ain't nothing unclean. I'm just going to think of it as being clean and go right on my lasciviousness. Go right on doing my evil, dirty thing. That shows your stupidity. See, when God said it is only unclean to him that esteemeth the thing to be unclean, he was speaking of the evil heart of unbelief. Because you are not born again in your spirit, you are unclean. And everything around you is unclean because it's under the curse. And until you are born again and Christ renews within you a right spirit and takes your spirit of your first birth out, I don't care how religious you are, you're still unclean and all things are unclean to you. But the Bible said, he that giveth of that which he hath, even of his spirit, of his time, of his substance, behold, all things are clean unto him. And he cannot esteem things to be unclean because he is clean in his spirit. He is sanctified once and for all in his heart and spirit. And he is clean and holy in his mind to love God and to meditate in the laws of God day and night. And he is clean from within. Jesus had cleansed the platter on the inside, and he is cleansed from within. And therefore, because he is cleansed, he is not beholding through dirty windows. And he looks even beyond the filth of the flesh. This filth which is in every living human being is the first birth. He looks beyond this. And he doesn't know anyone after the flesh. And he looks for the inner man, as to the second man, the Lord from heaven. Looking under this man, he sees something holy and something pure, something that Christ, the great spirit, has become interwoven in. And the spirit has been run through a filter, and it's holy and it's pure and it's interwoven with Christ on the inside. And it is life, and it is eternal life. It is an abundance of life as to whatever measure the man has received. Then when he looks at the other, he looks at the other in pity. Though he sees the flesh, though he sees the filth of the flesh through his natural eyes, he looks back at Calvary and says, let all the world rejoice, for the Lord reigneth. For there is now blood on the seat of atonement, and God has took away the sins of the world. And even Judas, being in the midst of the disciples, could be there, being a devil. But yet God allowed. Even Satan in the book of Revelation in the 12th chapter is found in heaven, standing there in heaven, though he's the devil of uncleanness himself, the unclean spirit himself. Yet he's standing there because of the blood being on the seat of atonement. We find him even in the book of Job going before God, right up to the heavens in the very presence of him that's holy, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus being so powerful to God that God would accept it to cleanse everything to the extent of a dispensational grace that man might have opportunity to pull out from among the lasciviousness of the beast world and those things that God hates to conform to the things of God to get a new born again experience. And as David of old said, to renew a right spirit within him. So we see how beautiful it is with God. No death. Death comes by man. God never instigated death. All the things that he did, the one thing he left out was death. Then comes the man. And the man, he begins to cause problems. Through the weakness of the flesh as to the woman, she goes to wandering around, looking here and there. And instead of abiding by the understanding of her husband, instead of staying within the radius and confines of the government which her hair represents on the shoulder, instead of doing that as the church of today, she decided to bob it all off. She wants her glory her way. A woman will mess with her glory as to her hair, doing it all kind of ways. Pin it up and pop pins, and she'll do anything to it to get it off of the shoulder. She'll cut it. Whatever. And the church world today has literally cut the glory off. And they've got into bathing suits and everything else. And the doctrine of the husband, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the word of God that said power must be on her head, speaking of that which is the spirit of her husband controlling her body because she doesn't have a mind. It's his mind that she hath rejected. She hath rejected that. And soon there was another mind that came along. That's why Paul said you need power on your head because of the angels. If she'd have had power on her head, which was her covering, which was her husband, which was the covering of her, then she would have never taken another mind. But she took another mind through her human senses by looking, desiring through the lust of the eyes. And the Bible said, thus sin came into the world through lust. She lust and the windows of her soul was open. And then Satan, the ruler of intellectual reasoning, which is darkness, lust, and covetousness, came in. When he came into her body, got control of her body and ravished her body and defiled her, and went through her to Adam, and vainly puffed Adam up by his fleshly mind, saying, we're going to be gods. I've done found the secret. We're going to be gods. And the Bible said, though he was the most beautiful tree in the garden, he lifted himself up above the others. And when he did, then he lost the Shekinah illumination of the glory, and it went away. And Adam found himself in darkness, and Eve found herself the same way, that is, in intellectual reasoning from the old tree of knowledge, saying, I am naked. What happened to me? I'm naked. They had the Shekinah illumination of the covering. They were not naked. They were very, very sober in their spirit. They were pure and clean and holy on the inside because they were pure by the illumination. And they knew nothing else, had been taught nothing else. They'd never been to a house of learning. And because of that, all they knew was what God had introduced to them, which was subject to their human senses as to the creature part. By the illumination of the purification of the virtue of his wonderful presence. And they were holy and they were clean. And they never thought a thought degraded toward one another. There was no such thing in their world. But when the devil came in, that's all he can do. Woman and man, it's degraded. All he can think of is reproduction and the old slop hole of passions. That's all he can do. He can't get his mind off of it. Put it on the billboard. Put it on the television. Paint the lips up. Hang rings in the ears. Get a form-fitting dress. Get some man in a zoot suit. You know, let him let his hair grow out. Let him pump his muscles. Let him be flirty. Let him be real feminine-like. Let him get him a college degree and slick his hair back. Too lazy to work. And let him work the little things out with his smooth words so that he can just ravish the women and kill and destroy. As the Bible said, Satan is a robber and a thief until he just makes everything a mush and a mess. All swines and dogs lapping their own vomit and wallowing in the mire, calling it the professional way of life, calling it the great way of the Olympics, calling it the great thing of this world of sports and exercises and things that we're supposed to do. All of it is a slop hole, like the vision I saw of the slime pit and the woman so beautiful and screaming and couldn't get out of the slime pit. And I remind you again, I ran to help her out, and when I grabbed her hand like that, it locked on my hand and she turned into a hideous witch, and she didn't want to get out of the slime pit. She wanted to pull me into the slime pit. That's the world. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Snow White. Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as wool, as white as snow. So the old bewitching thing, Paul said, who hath bewitched you that ye should not listen to the minister as to obey the truth? Who hath bewitched you? O foolish Galatians, he said, what's happened to you? You started in the spirit. How is it now that you are made perfect with academics and made perfect with diplomacies and made perfect with your human reasoning? Or how is it that you're made perfect with the things of the law, of these natural symbolic things that has nothing to do with God at all, that are just symbols and types and shadows and things that are given for the times and seasons that's appointed until the promise can come? I'm afraid of you, he said. You observe signs and seasons. I'm afraid of you. God is a spirit, Jesus said. You must worship him with your spirit and worship him in truth. Not by joining the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, the Catholic Church. Not by counting beads in holy water. Not by being dipped in some water called baptism. See, baptism is a barrel. But you are saved by the blood. There's no remission of sin without the shedding of the blood. It takes the blood of Jesus. For there is no other blood There is no other blood. All blood is contaminated from the fall of Adam. It's completely contaminated. There's no life in it. It's all death. All of you are abiding death. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You're not handsome. You're not pretty. You're not educated. You're not rich. Solomon gathered gold like dust. That didn't make him nothing. He had all kind of wisdom and lost out with God in his old age. See, you ain't nothing except in God. Except in God. But in God, you are a God. In God, you're everything. Someone would say, well, I'm in God, Brother Pike. I'm a Christian. In God means your mind's in this word. Your mind becomes this word, and this word becomes you. And you become the word made manifest in every thought, intent of the heart, every impulse. If you're not walking in the word, you're not in him. If you're predestinated, you're predestinated into hell, unless you're predestinated through the word. For the Bible said God hath chosen us in Christ, which is in the word. And the Bible said God hath predestinated us in him, which is in the word. And he hath chosen us in him, and in him we're complete. He's our everything. And if you're not in that mind, you're not in the spirit. You are in your own mind of the lust of the flesh, the things of the world, and Satan is your God. And you're following him, and you're under the auspices of Satan, and you have the love of the world in you, and you're subject to the vanities of the world, and you're passing away like a shadow. And in the world, they got a little saying, you're wasting away. So then we see the great thing that God did when Adam fell. He began to say, I need some clothing. I've got to have a covering. And he fell among the beast, among the trees. He was no more illuminated in his mind and spirit out yonder. That's what's happened to some of you. You have been exposed to this, and it's come to you in the whole church world by the grace of God has had an expose. But now they're going back to their careers, and they're going back to making money, and they're going back to buying the vain things of the world and the vain jangles of the world, and they're going back to sports and television and all of these evangelists and ball players and races and all of these money men and everything that they can pull together out of the world, and especially the youth. It's gone crazy. They've gone crazy. They've got their youth, and they think, I'm just going to live forever. I'm going to have the money. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be some great star. I think they're trying to bring Elvis Presley back now. In another week, is it, they say that something will be up as to the statute of limitation. He's been hiding away, and he's going to come back. Well, anyway, with all these crazy things, Jesus said, I got a title for you, sinful. An adulterous generation, I'll burn you with fire. So, sodomites, fornicators, liars, cheats, virtue gone, no decency. It used to be a great thing to be a virgin. A great thing for a man to be a virgin, for a woman to be a virgin. That was a great thing. It was no greater thing hardly in the earth. Today, that's ironic to even think somebody would be a virgin as to the natural way of life. They wouldn't even consider such a thing. See, the thing is, Adam fell. He fell, and when Adam fell, you fell. So, since Adam never did get back up, you never did get back up. No one ever got up except through Calvary. No one. And because Calvary is here, then God has brought you up while you're yet living. He has brought you up to this wonderful, beautiful body. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on your beautiful garments that's been tried in the fire. Be ye the body of the Lord. Yield your members as those alive from the dead. Be not as a beast, a ravening beast, or beast to be made to be taken and destroyed. God give this in foreknowledge before the world ever was. As many as believed were ordained unto eternal life. And as many as were ordained, they did believe. And the foreknowledge of God hath your names already written down in the Lamb's book of life. And you're already covered with the blood. Your body is the purchased possession by the blood. And it's at the right hand of the Father. And you're inactive in the body. And the body that you now have, that you look at naturally of that appears, is dead. And you're to despise it. Put it away, hide it away, leave it. Don't despise your youth. Don't despise your opportunity and your nature and opportunity to be a child of God. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth and be an example. But despise that lust of the flesh and the filth of the flesh and that intellectual mind you got and that longing and desire to be in the world and revel in the world and do the things of the world and be like the world and to show your face and to show your body and to project yourself. Despise that thing. God said, I'll despise your image in the morning. Paul said, oh, wretched man am I. I am delivered from this wretched body by the body of Jesus Christ. And if I'm going to live, it's going to be Christ. Now, when it comes to your body, you're the body and bone of his own flesh. That's the way he sees you. It doth not yet appear as to what you see. Because when you look, you're not going to see bone and flesh of him. And what you see and what the world sees with their natural eyes and conductive nerves, they're not going to see his flesh and bones. Because the Bible said it is not yet apparent. It is not yet in appearance. You do not see it. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be. For he is at the right hand of the Father. And if you want to see yourself, look in the spirit and you'll see him out there. You'll see him through the eyes of your understanding. As your understanding is enlightened, you'll behold the Son of God. As Pilate said, behold the man. And you'll see him and you'll look beyond the veil of your human personage. And you'll look at that great second man, the Lord from heaven. Realizing that this tabernacle that's in this intellectual wilderness must be dissolved. And that you've got to get over the intellectual Jordan. Of the death of this carnality, for to be carnally minded is death. And ever since Adam and Eve got entangled in that, their seed died. And Adam all die. And as long as you think carnally and naturally as to this world, as to the molecular structure, you're going to die because Satan savors the things that be of this natural life. These natural things. He doesn't savor the things that be of the spirit because he's driven out of the spirit. He's only a reflector of the spirit world. And this world is only a reflector of the spirit world. And all of the people in this world is only a reflector of the spirit world. So somewhere there has to be an inter-angelic being in your little tabernacle. Or you don't belong to that angelic spiritual world of paradise. Because this body doesn't belong to it. And if you don't have that angelic new birth, then that means that you are relative to the world of darkness with an angelic being living on the inside. Because these little tabernacles are going to be dissolved with the brightness of his coming as to that day star of the revelational light dawning from within you to change you and make this light manifest in your mortal genes. Or it's going to come from yonder as he appears in that body coming down as a consuming fire. At the end of the church ages, and it's going to consume your very image that he said, I will destroy with the brightness of my coming. Even the man of perdition and him that sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself through his intellectual diplomacies that he's the ruler, that he is God. So he is God in this world. He's the God of this world. And it is given unto him to give this to whomsoever he will. Now, unless there's a hunger more in you than I have felt, for a 35-minute sermon or a 20-minute sermon or just wanting to get out early, you'll never get it. You that are this morning so interested in what I'm saying, so interested. Some of you already are so interested and yet you feel like you've sized up what God wanted to say and your whole spirit is already changing to get out of here. You know why? Because you're not born again. The very fact that those thoughts seize you, that you would turn to the belly, proves that you are a swine and a dog, and your interest dwindles away, and your thirst is to get out there. We done heard it. Now, give us a good day, a long day. Let us out of here. It is because you're a swine, and you're dogs, and you're not children of God, unless it be a little baby in our midst, which sometimes this is true. And you few, and you are few, that have an interest in God, that is hungering and thirsting, not as to come to hear a 35-minute sermon, but come this morning saying, well, glory to God, today is the day that I'm not out on the job. I'm going to be here all day long. Brother Pike, why do we have to leave? We want to be here all day long. We stay on our jobs all day long, but see, it's not like that. It's those that dwindle away in that feeling because they are fleshly. They're carnal-minded. They're abiding in death. They've never had a born-again experience. They don't have any interest in spiritual things. Though they try to pray and try to fast and do all of these things, I tell you in the name of the Lord, they are not born again, and they don't have any interest. See, this was the thing that upset the Jews. The Jews fasted and prayed and done all kinds of things, and the Lord said, away with your assemblies. Your solemn assemblies. I don't want any of it. I'm sick of it, he said. I'm sick of your fasting and praying and all these things, where you pray and make long prayers to be heard and to be seen in the synagogues and praised of men and to have the upper seats in the synagogues. He said, away with it. And the Lord said to them, he said, you don't fast unto me and you don't pray unto me. That's your routine. That's your way of life. They said, wherefore have we fasted and prayed? And you take no knowledge. Oh, God. You know, they were saying, you're cruel. He said, my ways are not uneven. Your ways are uneven. That's where the problem is. See, and that's what's wrong with you, Bethlehem. Not only Bethlehem, but this goes out to people around the world. That's what's wrong with you. See, you are in such a religious rut until you don't grow in the knowledge. When you leave the sanctuaries, you don't go after anything concerning God. You fill that belly with food and you go out there looking for a ball game or a television show and you can't hardly wait to get out of the sanctuary. You can't hardly wait. You wouldn't even come to the house of God on Sunday morning if it wasn't for the fact there's a fear of going to hell and you done got into a routine and you live here and some of you live on the campground and that's the only reason you come, to keep your place on the campground. The only reason you come to men's meeting. And you don't really participate in nothing as to helping with anything or any sacrifice toward anything or upholding the school or anything else. You're nothing of nothing here. But there is a few little faithful ones like Gideon's few that does stand by me. And the others are just ready to do their thing. That's all they're here for. They look forward every day to doing their thing and getting their life, as they call it. And folks, it is an abomination in the sight of God. But to the few, I say to you again, as to my babies in Christ, and to the few that love the Lord, there is a few. Someone would say, Brother Pike, when you say few, how many? I might could count them on one hand. I might not. I might not need one hand to count them on. They're so few. They are so few as to a real, genuine, born-again experience. Now, you say, I just don't believe that. I can't help if you don't believe it. It's that tight and it's that narrow. And I want to remind you again, the Bible said strive. Do you know what striving is? You ever seen two people fighting together and one striving to overcome the other? Fighting and clawing and biting and kicking and doing everything and using every ounce of strength and perspiring, just giving out. It said strive, fight against the devil, strive against the flesh. That's where the devil's at. Strive against your outer man and your intellectual desires and your will. Strive to enter into the straight gate that we're speaking of. For many are going to try in their religious efforts and not going to be able to get in. And he said, straight is this gate like a straight jacket. You just squeeze through. Straight is the gate. And narrow is this way. It's a narrow, straight way. He said, and few there be that find this way. And he said, strive to enter in, for many shall try and not be able. And he said, if the righteous scarcely make it, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear? I know we're living in the great day of Jubilee. We're living in the great day of evangelists. We're living in the great day of healing. Blow them down, do anything you want to with them. Don't make no difference. This is that great outpouring of God's Spirit. You're ignorant, folks. You're ignorant when you think like that. See, it ain't like that at all. The pouring out of the Spirit's been since Pentecost. It's always been. Joel prophesied of it. See, and it ain't no more today. It's just a big fad today. of this intellectual exuberance, and some of them are not even ministers of God. They just transform their mind as a reflection to do Satan's thing, for this religious thing, to gather the body of the world together in their foolishness. It's still the same old time Holy Ghost God preaching that's always been that the apostolic leaders had to have and the people had to have. Turn my people from that intellectual fad of religion and darkness to light, Paul, which is the real truth. See, having a love for the truth, and because they don't, God's turned them over to reprobate mind, to cause them to believe a lie and be damned, sending them strong delusions that they might be destroyed. So then it's still straight gate. It's still few there be that find it. So you are a little flock. Fear not, a little flock. You are a little flock. As I saw the vision, just a few of them made the rapture. When this rapture takes place, take my word for it, millions upon millions, and not only millions, but billions of people in the world, all around the world, when the rapture takes place, it's going to be such few people that will live from this earth that if you had a way to take stock, you would literally be shocked to the core of your soul in an awesomeness. Somebody said, well, that's your opinion. No, that's not my opinion. It's the Bible. That you feel is your ignorance. It's the Bible. That's what it is. It's going to be exactly that way. Few there be that find it, if the righteous scarcely be saved. So then I say, let's do this, children of God, as you would say. Let's count the righteous in here this morning. Now, that brings a different light, doesn't it? Oh, now when we stop to think about that, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, I've heard you talk about just about everybody here. Now, each one of you point out the righteous. You stand up and tell me who's righteous. If we got a whole slew of them here this morning on the campground, why have you talked about them the way you did? Why did you find fault with them? Why are you always finding fault with them? Why is a discrepancy in your mind toward everyone that you mention at the time or another? Why not stand up and point out the righteous one? Sounds pretty narrow. Someone says, well, I can't help it if I see it. But has it ever occurred to you that that's the way they see you too? While you feel that way toward them, they're seeing your shortcomings, and that puts you in the same field of activity that they're in the same dilemma. So you need to listen to the word of God. Somebody said, well, then that means you just think we ought to listen to you. That means I think you ought to listen to God. He said, it's not me speaking, but him. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. A lot of times people say, well, Brother Pike, are you upset with us? I'm upset with the devil and the filth of the flesh. These tapes go everywhere. And I'm talking to them people out there. There's millions of people that need to hear these things. And God is seeing that they hear them. And they're breaking the yokes. And the people are beginning to revive and come to their senses. Let's just stand together. Appreciate your attention this morning. Many things that I'd like to say, but I know that you don't have the interest. After the little 35-minute sermon or whatever it might be, I could tell some of you's interest had already gone. Listen real good at first. You fire up real good at first. But then it ain't very long. No endurance and you're gone. Like a wrestler friend of mine, it was converted. He retired from wrestling. Looked like a young bull. He's so burly. One day I was talking to him, the man that owned the mask, Paul. I was preaching up at the sports arena. His wife gave their heart to God, and I was walking along talking to him and slapped him on the arm. And I said, man, with them arms, Paul, the way you are, you got plenty of strength. He said, yeah. Brother Pike said, I really do have. Having wrestled all over the world, Japan and everywhere. Famous for the lock that no one could ever break. He said, I have. He said, but I don't have any endurance. And that's what's wrong with some of you. You know, you start off real good, but you don't have any endurance. So, no spiritual endurance, that means you don't really get anything from God. You just get enough just to a surface thing to get you interested, and it satisfies you to the extent that you feel like that you enjoyed it,
And then the next thing you want to enjoy is the rest of your life to do your thing. Like a man in Olive Branch, poverty, nothing. Asked me to pray. I said, I'm going to pray and God's going to bless you. He got rich. When he got rich, he had promised to build a church. So he did. He took a few dollars and went down to Mexico to where he could get a few little things together. It didn't cost him hardly nothing to try to keep his word. And then after that, something was said about really serving God. He said, well, I want something for myself. So he got it. Fairly young man. He got it. Unless God undertook, he's in hell now. But he got something for himself. He'd done what he wanted to do. God had given him something to do with, made him healthy and well. He was healthy and well. Like a picture of hell. But he let the filth of the flesh and the lust of the flesh get in. And the first news you know, God let Satan hit him and kill him. All right, let's sing a little song together. You that want to do your own thing and you don't need God and you want to do something for yourself and keep something for yourself, we're giving you liberty to do something for yourself. Every time you come to the knowledge of God and then you go on out with your own will and desire, then you're doing something for yourself and you rejected the word of God. And that means that you have all opportunity now to do something for yourself. You that don't want to do anything for yourself, as with Jesus in Not My Will But Thine, want to be the body of Christ and willing to give your body to the Lord that you might exchange this life for the world to come, then I say to you, the Bible said, he that gaineth his life here shall lose it. He that loseth his life here for my sake shall gain it. So you go and lose your life and to shorten your days by your disobedience, even with the diseases and whatever, and live a miserable life in what few days you do have. But you that love God, that wants to be one with this Christ in my heart and one with the Christ in the hearts of these precious brothers and sisters, then give your life to God and God will give you eternal life. You that are my children, whether you're here, home, or abroad, when you hear these words, remember you are my children in God. You are Christ's children. And being that way, you're not a beast. Not even your body is not a beast. Your body is preserved by God. It's precious. It's holy. It's blameless. It's spotless. It's covered with the blood. And it don't go around esteeming its image. It don't go around esteeming its education. It don't go around esteeming its strength, its brilliance, its passions. It goes around with God on its mind day and night and giving the body as a virgin to God. To bring forth the child is to conception, which is Christ. As the vision I saw birthing a child. I travail till Christ be formed within you. So then you that are wanting to do that and you want to give yourselves here to the home front is to do something on the home front or missionary work or abroad as to one with that spirit as the brotherhood around the world. You're welcome to do it, to see eye to eye, not to break ranks, to walk hand in hand and to be faithful in the corner wherever this ministry places you. And God will bless you. Abundantly he will bless you. Not going after the things of the world. Seeking the kingdom. And he'll add all these things to you. To make you rich. To give you honor and long life. For I would above all things that you prosper and be in health. Even as your soul prospers. Go after the natural things. Like you've done in the last few months. And you're going to be just exactly like you are now. Because you went after the natural thing. Whereas when I first brought you here, you went after the spiritual things and you become rich, abundantly blessed. Even Chuck told me, he said, God's made me rich by the pipe. So then, God wants to bless you if you're willing to follow his steps. Going to do a little work on the sanctuary. Back of me where this picture is. I wish I could have brought it out the other night. The door opened to heaven, but I couldn't. Had some spiritual things and still have many things to say to you. Seeing that you're dull of hearing, I can't say these things. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. But we're going to cut out this back here, cut through there. Got a big place cut through there. And with that little additional thing, and in there will be a door. And it has great significance at this time concerning James's departure, concerning the church ages and these other things. And right here, when you've all learned everything and don't need to learn no more, God's about to reveal something for them that has gone far enough along to come to the open door to where they can start learning something.
Well, you've learned exactly nothing. You've got just enough to bring condemnation and death to you because you're now guilty, knowing and not doing. But to them that have applied themselves that love the Lord, it's a great moment and a great time. And rather than drifting off like these others have done and getting complacent and half-hearted, their minds just on the belly and the things of the world until they eat and rot and are thrown to the ground, you that have not done that or not doing that, you few that are looking for something to do on the home front to put the gospel around the world and not ready to reason in your intellectual reasoning to reason yourself clear out of a job thinking that God's bankrupted, then get in and do something for God. Continue your work here on the home front or abroad and with all diligence. And as I said to somebody the other day, not to seesaw. Get in. Get on one side or another. Get with the world and enjoy sin for a season. Else come in here and really enjoy the things of God. Forget about one side of your life and die to it. The veil is rent in twain. Die to the flesh. Die to the things of the flesh. The death that you need to die concerning your intellectual zeal. Like the Jews had to do. Bring in the spiritual side as the spiritual Israelite. And get in once and for all and be a Christian. And whatever you do, do with all your heart, might, and strength. And do it for God and think about God, to live for God, to be like God, to want God, to hunger and thirst for God. And don't never look back into Egypt. Don't never think about your career and your life and your job and your business or anything else that pertains to the flesh. Get on this side once and for all because you've got to wish you had. The changing time is there. And you're going to wish you had. Kind of like the vision the brother saw when he was up here preaching. And the big ball of fire come through the door. And as it came, it turned into a man sitting on a throne as a blaze of fire. Moving down toward where we were, he passed right through us and went out the back. And sure enough, it looks like there's going to be a place out the back. It's cool. From what I understand, it's relating back to the Eastern Gate, the breaking forth of the gate, and the divine entrance of the Lord Jesus. Even with James, what happened to him, those gates that were closed and sealed. And nothing happens. We'll be doing something about it. I watched even the two men that was laying it off yesterday, allegorically as to what was taking place. It's right here at the time that they put the crown on the school, about got it ready for the children to show the crossing of the Jordan. And all of you that's died in the wilderness, that really heard, just like those people did, you heard, and couldn't wait to do your thing. But it was living in your natural mind all the time. And the earth eventually swallowed them up. The world got the best of them. So you that turn back into Egypt in your heart, which that's what you've done. There's something going on now to a new birth. It's the children going over. And then like somebody said the other day, several of my daughters were standing before me singing. I was standing in a tiny suit. And I said to David Paul, I'm ready to go to Washington. And this thing, of course, is real allegoric as to what's taking place in such a way that you have never seen it. You don't understand. You've never seen it. Though I know you say you do, but I know you don't. And that's why that you've become complacent and why you've lost out with God. And that's why you've turned away and that's why you've had the world on your mind and been half-hearted in these meetings that we have and have concern. Because as I said, you never did see it. The eyes of your understanding never was enlightened. The Bible said you were blinded by the ignorance of your own intellectual zeal and will on the inside. You never did sit. Well, let's sing this little chorus together. We still we do have a musician or two around about. Every time we lose a musician, that gives us a vacancy so that we can put in another one. Like some of them that's wanting to be on the campground. They're always approaching me to be on the campground. They long to be on the campground if there ever comes an opening. So many of them, while others just lethargy around on the campground, just homesteading, but God will eventually work them off And he'll make the change. He always does that. But we'll find some of the new talent and give them a break and give them a start as some of the others die in the wilderness. Okay. Let's sing a little chorus, Kevin.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin. Trouble in my soul, I was carrying a heavy load, looking for the day it would end. But an old time preacher came calling one day. From the Bible he read a few words. Now I can say that I'm happy every day. I came a little closer to the Lord.
Sing it with me now.
Come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten when you come a little closer to the Lord. So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I came a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten as I came a little closer to the Lord.
Come a little closer to the Lord. The altars are open while we're singing these little choruses. I'll give you a chance to come and renew your covenant with the Lord if you like to come. And it's not compulsory that you come, but if you like to come, you have opportunity each time to come and renew your covenant with the Lord. So while we sing these songs, you're welcome to come.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, I will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Are you bringing in God's sheep? Bringing in God's sheep. Will you come rejoicing, bringing in God's sheep? Bringing in the sheep. Are you bringing in the sheep? Let us come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep.
Let's just lift our hands up together. Pray and believe the Lord is going to leave you. You remember what I'm telling you. He's going to leave you. And there's going to be a number of you that will never find him again. Never. He's going to leave you. Take my word for it. And going to be a number of you that will never, never again find him. You'll be cut off eternally. All because you had such great opportunity. Especially you that are Bethlehem, you've had such great opportunity. You've had opportunity like people around the world since the beginning of the world longed to have. But you did like the Jews. You took it for granted. That was yours. God chose you. You were special. And because of that, you didn't have to worry. So you just put it on the back burner. But now,
That's going to be a difference. Going to be a difference. You did it. You did it. Jesus said, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee? But you didn't have no interest. You didn't have no concern. You didn't have no care. I was just another person to you. All you want to do is destroy me, find fault with me, tear me down. You had other plans, other programs. Your mind was in the flesh. You was after the world, sought after the world. All of the Gentiles seek after the things of the world. The Bible says, salvation's of the Jew. And he's ready to turn back to the Jew. And the days are fulfilled with the Gentiles. And the days of misery is coming. And the Bible said, pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. That you may be accounted worthy, for they're going to gnaw their tongue for pain. You've got plenty of time to stay out of church, to go do your thing, to be what you want to be. And come whenever you take a notion and act like you want to when you come and have a half-hearted interest. And then when you leave, all day long, put all of your time in the natural desire of wealth and securities and the natural things. And all day long, as a rule, never really give God any of your time to get into the word of the Lord or the spiritual things or whatever. And just take enough time in the Bible reading or something to read about or think about to pacify yourself or to make you feel satisfied that you're still with him. But you've done wrong. You've done wrong, but that's between you and God. My job is preaching. My place is to tell people. All over the world is the song I wrote, to tell people. And the pleasure I have is to come here to tell you. The pleasure you have is to come here, someone would say, to hear you, Brother Pike? No. To hear God. To hear God speaking. Not me speaking about him. So the pleasure that you have is to hear God speak. And you've treated it as naught. Treated it as nothing. Treated it as just a man telling you something. Wherefore, because of that, your houses are left unto you desolate. Until one day, when the Lord does come around, you'll say, blessed is he. Blessed is he. It don't matter who he is. Blessed is he, that individual, blessed is he that's coming to me in the name of the Lord. You may never have seen that, but oh, I've seen that. I saw the time when I said, blessed is he, oh God. Blessed is he. Oh Lord, he's a little old nobody. He's a little old novice. He don't hardly know his right hand from his left. And he doesn't even know Pentecost. But he's talking about you. And he's talking about the Bible. Oh, my God, my soul languishes just to hear, just to get one drop of water. You'll find out. You'll find out. Well, let's sing this little chorus together. You have a lot of time to do your thinking. Let's lift our hands up together. You can tell all the others as you go round about and meet them that come when they take a notion and don't come when they don't want to and come on special occasions that the Lord is now moving off and leaving them. You've got a minister, so you can go. We'll give you a charge. You're out there with people all around everywhere. I sing the chorus, I will praise him. And I will praise him. Remember, when the Lord leaves off with you, what comes, what follows then? Judgment. It begins at the house of God. And there it follows. You don't just leave off and say, well, been enough religion anyway, I'll eat, drink, and be merry. You leave off with God, he leaves off with you. You draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to you. You resist him, he resists you. You walk contrary to me, so I walk contrary to you. Just being careless, doing your own thing. See, and what happens is when he leaves off with you, the riches leave, the blessings leave, the health leaves, the happiness leaves. The day becomes long and drab, lonely. There's no happiness anymore. You don't enjoy your car anymore. You don't enjoy your home anymore. You don't enjoy your health anymore. You don't enjoy food. You don't enjoy your job. You don't enjoy anything anymore. You're vexed all the day long. That's what you want. That's what you're trading God for. You don't need virtue according to the way you feel. You don't need understanding. You don't need Brother Pike and the others to minister to you. You've got all you need. You've got all you want of religion. So, God won't bother you. He'll just gently withdraw. You that love the Lord, I'm telling you to press in. For God's sake, press in. Because if the righteous scarcely be saved, with all of your efforts, you're scarcely going to make it. Press in, because you're going to be in the midst of these that he's going to depart from. And they're going to go right on, turned over to reprobate mind, interested in money, interested in businesses, interested in jobs and careers, interested in faces and forms, interested in their own intellectual reasoning, their own ministries, their own doings, their own places, their own things, interested principally in the world and all that's in the world. Satan's going to give it to them because they're carnal minded and they're in death. I did nothing like expound to you what I wanted to expound today. The other night when I came concerning the open door, I didn't even get into my message. See, and yet you come and yet you go, and yet the message has failed to come, and yet we still put something on tape and we still preach to you and things that you need, because you're running so far behind in the things you should have. And it's like somebody that needs to pass to a higher grade, but you have to keep them in the elementary grades because they don't exercise their senses to be able to discern as to the good and evil. And so then you remain in the same complacency. But anyway, that's for you. That's for you. I have to answer to God for me. I have to answer to God for you if I allow your blood to be on my hands. And I've ministered to you for over 20 years. Some of you, as long as you've been here, 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Some of you have listened partially. Some of you have listened more than others. Even them that listen at the best should listen 10 times what they listened. But anyway, that's between you and the Lord. So as we sing this little chorus, I will praise him. Let's lift our hands up. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us God glory, for his blood it's washed away every stain. Can you sing it again now? I will pray. I'm going to ask Brother John Jameson to come up, if he will. Dismiss us. Praise the Lord.